After his first visit to the Fight Front in Mingo County, James M. Coyne returned to Baltimore and attempted to explain to his readers why southern West Virginia had become a war zone, where murder, dynamiting, arson, and insurrection were the usual order of the day. It was Cole, he concluded. Cole had brought about this state of affairs. For in this part of America, he wrote, coal was the staff of life. It is coal on which a third of the population depends directly for its living. It is coal that has converted the state into one great pockmark of mines. And it was the cost of mining coal that had turned the rolling hills of southern West Virginia into an industrial battleground. Virginians had known about the mineral wealth buried beyond the Blue Ridge since the mid-18th century, but it took another century and a half for industrialists to exploit the rich deposits of black gold laced through the mountains of the Allegheny Plateau. The wealthy men of the Tidewater first learned of this buried treasure in 1750 from Christopher Gist, a famous explorer and trader, whom they had hired to inventory the most valuable real estate in the territory west of the Alleghenies. Upon his return from the highlands, Gist offered his clients lavish descriptions of the dense forests and fertile valleys he had surveyed, and he presented them with two impressive objects, a tooth from one of the woolly mammoths that roamed the region in the Pleistocene epoch, and a lump of coal that had been hardening since the Pennsylvanian subperiod a million years before. Gist's survey put a gleam in the eye of well-endowed investors back east, the kind of men whose capital would one day transform the Appalachian wilderness into a vast industrial domain for the extraction of West Virginia's bounteous natural resources. The first coal deposits in the region formed during the late Devonian period, more than 350 million years ago, when forests first covered the mountains of what became the Cumberland Plateau. The woody tissues of dead trees produced accumulations of peat, and the area that later would compose West Virginia became a subsiding basin filled with sediment. As these deposits were buried deeper and deeper, temperature and pressure increased, and over the centuries, the peat deposits became seams of high quality, relatively low volatility, bituminous coal. The bituminous or soft coal fields located in Appalachia, the lower Midwest, and the far West produced most of the nation's fossil fuel. Bituminous coal was classified as thermal fuel used in steam engines and power plants and as metallurgical fuel used to produce coke for iron and steel making. Southern West Virginia mines produced a high grade of low sulfur, smokeless soft coal, mainly for export to the national market. Higher priced anthracite or hard coal contained relatively pure carbon and burned with little flame or smoke. It was mined mainly in eastern Pennsylvania. Few regions in the world were as well endowed with such vast carbon deposits, a commonly known fact by 1765. Thomas Jefferson wrote in Notes on the State of Virginia that the whole tract of land beyond Laurel Mountain in western Virginia would yield abundant quantities of the fuel. 3 years later, in the Treaty of Hard Labor, the Cherokees relinquished their claim to land south of the Great Kanawha River, where the first coal deposits in western Virginia would eventually be mined by slaves and used as fuel for the salt furnaces south of Charleston. When the French and Indian War ended in 1763, hundreds of colonial soldiers who fought for the British poured into the lush valleys beyond the Blue Ridge, taking land that the vanquished Cherokee people had occupied for centuries. Along with them came hunters and traders, Pennsylvania farmers, Virginia slave owners, German immigrants, and Scots-Irish refugees from the rack-rented counties of Northern Ireland. These Ulstermen would create a new kind of religious movement in the mountains, one led by Presbyterian preachers, who emphasized the personal quality of conversion and created a tradition of outdoor festivals or holy fairs that persisted in intensely communal forms of worship characteristic of mountain religion. Along with these pioneer settlers came the agents from the East, who acquired land in great swaths, about three-quarters of Appalachia by 1800. As a result, nearly half of the white settlers worked the land as tenants and day laborers, the ancestors of Appalachia's enduring population of poor whites.